Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, evidently, Michael Cohen's getting back out. He was out. They rammed him back in. Evidently, he's going to get out again. And the judge found that it was retaliation for his book. Who knew? Other than, well, everybody. It's just not surprising. Another tell-all. I hope he makes. I don't think he's going to make what Mary Trump made, but I think he'll get a couple of bucks, help him make it through the rest of his time. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on that and everything else we can bang through. I've asked our good friend Sarah Burris, reporter over at Raw Story, to come and fill us in on all of the things that we are missing and all of the fun and hilarity that is the Trump administration. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hello, thank you for having me.
I appreciate you taking time. So what do you think of, you know, Cohen out, Cohen in, Cohen back out?
Well, I think he knew that this is really retaliation. That was the reason that they filed the lawsuit, is they were just like, this is complete BS. And, you know, that's how he ended up getting out. And the quotes from the judge, and I mean, just, it was very, very obvious that this was unconstitutional. And I am frankly floored. I know that I shouldn't be, but I am still constantly surprised by the White House trying to get away with stuff like this. And thankfully it didn't work, but you know, now Michael Cohen can go home and be in prison at home and order whatever takeout delivery he wants and write his tell-all book.
Yeah, see, I'm against people getting out like that. I got to tell you, if you're convicted, you go to jail. Because if it were me, I'm not getting out. They're not letting me out.
Well, if you're black, you're not getting out either, well, right?
That's
the other thing that, and I think that we've actually finally started to see that in California, especially like people of color who are nonviolent, you know, pot smokers from 12 years ago who it was their third strike. They're finally starting to let people out for BS crimes like that. So it's nice to hear that it's maybe starting to somewhat equalize someday.
Maybe someday it will happen. Who knows? And I think the virus is brought on some of this as well. I mean, some of the prisons are going, we don't know what to do. We don't want to get an outbreak. Cause look, you shouldn't get a death sentence for, you know, smoking pot.
Yeah. There's a women's prison in Houston, Texas, in particular. I think it's, like all 800 inmates tested positive for COVID. And in that specific county, they had 814 positive cases.
Wow.
So they're all in the prison. Yeah.
Now, were they all in prison before they got it? Or did they find those people and put them all in prison?
they have been in prison and they got it. So
here's, because just in the last hour, we were talking about sending kids back to school. So this is a perfect, little test. Say, you know, if you send your kids back to school, we could be like the women's prison in Texas.
Well, I think a great example is all of the camps that kids are going to. You know, all the summer camps, there was a whole group of summer camps in Missouri where kids went to that, and a ton of kids ended up with COVID. So I think that is a really good representation of, oh, it turns out we actually can't do this. You know, I've made comments about, you know, that I don't think that if an adult human can't go to Walmart for less than an hour and not pitch a complete tantrum, I wonder how we're going to make a kindergartner wear a mask for 8 hours.
Exactly.
And much less 20 of them, right?
Heck, 20, 30. So, I mean, you know, they pack these kids into a classroom. No, you're absolutely right. You know, my thing has been, you know, one kid in the class gets head lice and everybody's got it. Mm-hmm. And that's a mild nuisance.
Or pink eye.
Another one.
Yeah. And I mean, we all understand, like, the younger the child, the harder it's going to be able to get them to do stuff. But at the same time, I mean, you got to admit, like, half of these kids are a hell of a lot more mature than the Walmart shoppers throwing a tantrum about the mask.
Yeah.
So there is that.
So have there been many other fun stories? I mean, the woman in Verizon who dropped trow in the middle of the floor there, that was probably one of my favorites. Because that one's, yeah, that's just a little nuisance. You know, the guy getting shot in the back of the head because he wouldn't let somebody in, or the guy who got stabbed. There's no fun in that. But the crazy woman who, I don't know, how does that happen? How do you get it between your ears that I'm going to throw up a tantrum and I'm just going to drop my drawers and go right here?
I assume that it's wine related. I could be wrong. But when I see somebody who is in a Verizon store who just decides to pull their pants down, the first thing I think is, was that box of wine red or white?
You think wine does that, though?
For people dropping their drawers.
Okay.
And I mean, I think there's a level of crazy, right? There's people who obviously should be on some anti-anxiety drugs who, you know, have very short fuses.
I gotcha.
And so, you know, add that to a couple of glasses of wine and a late night trip to Walmart, and somebody says, you know, something slightly wrong, and all of a sudden Karen is just going off the deep end.
Yeah, and Karen the cat lady's just marking her territory.
Yeah.
You know, got to do what you got to do. Let's move along. Evidently, the White House cafeteria is shut down because someone got it. Where are they going to now eat? Is Donald going to send out for McDonald's and KFC and all them for them? Are they making some accommodations for the staffers at the White House?
I doubt it. I mean, there are places around there. There's a couple of coffee shops and sandwich places. I haven't been in Washington for a while. I came home in April, and so I'm not sure what is opening and what is not. I don't know where the White House perimeter is now because, you know, they advanced it out so much. And I was really worried that my favorite restaurant that's by the White House is going to get included inside the perimeter. And it's like, no, they have really good pie. Oh man, it's the best pie ever. So I was just like, no, don't take my pie place away. There are places that they can go, but, you know, these are not like the Ivankas and the Donald Trumps that
are
going.
This is the people who clean and polish and do all the other stuff.
It's the secretaries, you know, it's the, not like Ben Carson's secretary. These are the assistants, the aides, the, you know, deputies, deputy of deputying.
The poorly paid people.
Still paid about as much as I make. So it depends. It depends. That like super low level staffer who's like the, you know, the kid that's responsible for posting stuff for Donald Trump on Twitter, right? That guy probably isn't paid very much. But yeah, I mean, these are folks who, I guess now they're going to have to bring their own PB&J and
brown bagging it.
Yeah.
There you go. I wanted to ask you about the cognitive test that Trump took. Did he remember the name of it ever?
No. Like, that's the best part. Like, the dude took a memory exam and can't even remember what the damn exam is called. It's just like, oh, bless his heart, right? Like, that's a bless your heart if I ever have seen one.
So, but I think everybody ran to take that Montreal cognitive test to see, hey, can I pass it? And I think most people found out that it wasn't as hard as he said it was.
Yeah, it's not hard at all. And what's interesting is that he really kind of, it's like he keeps bringing it up over and over again. He doesn't really realize that people can look this up online and they can see what the questions are and that identifying an elephant is actually not that hard. The tests like this, though, are really supposed to be given over, like, several times over the years to kind of chart how someone is doing over time. If you are doing a true mental evaluation, what we did with my grandfather when we were trying to figure out if, you know, he had Alzheimer's or dementia, there are different ways that you can tell what type of dementia that they had. And so we spent the whole day at this doctor's office. She wanted to see MRIs. She did interviews with us talking about things that we've noticed about him. It was not asking man, woman, or person, woman, man, camera, TV. I think that was what it was. It was not questions like that. It was much more complex. And things that didn't have anything to do with each other, some were two word things instead of man. It was like frozen pineapple, you know, something that was a description, an adjective in front of the noun. And so I think that really looks into the short-term memory, which they say with Alzheimer's is the first thing really to go. So if somebody tells you something and you forget it pretty quickly after having like a 2-second conversation, then your short-term memory really sucks. And so it's like, okay, is that dementia or is that Alzheimer's? And that's when it takes, you know, much deeper in investigating from actual mental health professionals. And that's the other piece of this is it was Ronnie Jackson who gave him the exam 2.5 years ago.
Right.
And the question I had,
and the question when that I had when that came up was Ronnie Jackson drunk? Yeah, obviously the first question. No.
I don't know. You know, that's a good question.
Yeah, that's what, that's kind of what drummed him out. You know, he had that little drinking problem.
Well, that and the fact that he was handing out pills to people without actually doing legitimate exams of them, and you know, and that the thing is he was doing that in the Obama administration because, you know, I knew people who were like, yeah, hit me and give me an Ambien. And he'd basically dole out, you know, little baggies of one pill, you know, for people traveling overseas who had to sleep on a plane or, you know. So, and which I get it, like for people who work in the White House, you don't have time to and try and get into a doctor's office immediately in Washington. That's not going to happen. So I get why.
Sure, you need a connection. Person,
yeah, I get why that exists. But most of the time when you have a legit doctor there, they keep records. They do. It's like having a doctor's office there. You know, it's not somebody who's just a pill popper, right? Or a pill pusher. And the thing that I would say about the exam for Trump is that he's not equipped to really give that exam. He's a physician. He's not a professional mental health expert who is, you know, has a vast array of knowledge on disorders, you know, degenerative brain disorders. And so, I mean, Trump has been sort of baiting Joe Biden into taking this test. And I kind of want to say, well, why don't we just do this on television? And why don't we do it with a legitimate mental health professional who gives these exams all the time, who neither of them know, is completely independent, and let's let the world watch and see which one of them is completely like, woohoo, bye-bye.
Yeah, but here's the thing. So, you know, is this the level now at which we've decided we're going to pick a president by who can pass a cognitive test on TV? I mean, really, I love Joe Biden, but, you know, the reality is, you know, is this now where the conversation is? I can tell a rhinoceros and you can't.
I think that's the major question is, can this be a legitimate questionnaire, not that, you know, other one? And I think, too, what I'd love to see, we've talked about this before, that I would love to see a debate that has all of the citizenship questions. And you have to like, write it in on a marker board and then show what your answer is. I think that it is not unreasonable for Americans to ask for these kinds of tests if you're talking about somebody who has the nuclear code. And it was kind of this idea before where I thought, surely not. Like in the United States, we as a country together can band together to make sure that we're not electing somebody who is three sheets from the wind, you know, has dropped their brain in between the cushions of the couch or left it in their gold toilet. And you know, I don't think any of us really expected that Trump could ever really happen. And now, as we hopefully are getting rid of him, we really need to have a conversation about, all right, what laws and requirements do we need to put in place? Things that you know, presidents did because it was the right thing to do, but it never was written down as a policy or a law. You know, ethics rules and all of that stuff. Like, that needs to be an actual law now.
Yeah, but isn't that what having, you know, Congress is for? I mean, isn't this where having a functional House and Senate to hold the executive branch accountable? Isn't that what this is for? And the sad reality is Trump and, you know, his cabal have overtaken any bit of sanity in the Republican Party, and now it's basically just a death cult.
Yeah, and that's exactly why people need to vote for Democrats in the U.S. Senate. I mean, I think people are voting for Democrats in the House already. We're not going to lose any seats. Well, I don't think we'll lose very many seats. I worry about the Oklahoma 5th. So if you're looking to find a Democrat who was probably the most endangered, I think it would be the Oklahoma 5th. But for the most part, I think we'll even pick up seats this year. There are a lot of Republicans who are incredibly corrupt and have done some sketchy things. And I think a bunch of those guys will get kicked out. The Senate is a horse of a different color. You know, if we really honestly want to make dramatic changes that fix a lot of this stuff, I think the only way that you're going to get to happen is with a Democratic Congress and Senate. And we really do just have 2 years to make everything happen as fast as possible.
No, you need that 60-vote majority in the Senate and keep what you've got in the House. And you need to go through and aggressively move on some really progressive, forward-looking legislation and move things forward. Because, look, these last 3.5 years have just been horrible. And understand, the Republicans aren't going to do anything to help. And I think that is shown today by the fact that we still don't have a stimulus package and that they've just punted this into next week and still talking about, maybe we cut the $600 down to 100. Maybe we don't have it at all. Maybe we cut the $1,200 check to people under only 40,000. I don't know where they pull this stuff out of, but it's all about how to actually help.
Yeah, and the Democrats passed the stimulus, the phase four stimulus in May, because they realized this is not going to end. We're not going to have a vaccine until, if we're very, very lucky at the end of the year. But let's be realistic. It's not going to happen until next year. It's not going to get rolled out until next year. The government's only purchased 100 million doses. I got news for you. There are over 330 million people in the United States. So 230 million of you got to figure out where the hell you're going to get your vaccine and how much it's going to cost. If your insurance is going to pay for it, like all of these things. And, this was never an important thing for Mitch McConnell.
Right.
He just, left Washington and has been blowing off everything. And there are 140,000 people who have died, and he's letting this bill sit on his desk. We just talked last week about how a third of Americans couldn't pay their mortgage or their rent. It's the third month in a row that has been over 30%. People are saying we're going to have a housing crisis by September, October. The fact that this is not a sense of urgency is just beyond me. Like, how do you not know that something huge is happening? One of the things that I read today that really scared the hell out of me, Catherine Rampell in the Washington Post, said that she is concerned that this is really a plot for Trump to basically burn the bridge behind him as he's going down. And I'm not just talking about screw everybody. I'm talking about he's putting people in place who will hurt the country. People who don't believe in the Federal Reserve, who are being passed into the Federal Reserve as new governors of the board. There are a lot of things that he is trying to leave his mark, and it's not a mark like, I want conservative, whatever. He's like trying to destroy as much as he can before he leaves.
No, this is scorched earth. And there's no question about that.
And I wonder if that is the Republicans' plot so that they can then distract Democrats with, oh, my God, we have to fix all of this stuff in the country. Or if this is like the hill is so hard to climb, it's going to take more than 4 years to do it. So if Democrats can't do it in 2 years, they're just like, oh, see, they don't know what they're doing. And it's just the idea that we are playing politics right now is just beyond me. Like what happened to the party of, back in the day whenever people actually, wanted, when stuff went down, when the stuff hit the fan, everybody was like, okay, hold up. Like, let's fix this real fast. And then we can go back to our regular, screaming at each other.
Yeah. What happened to the family values folks? What happened to the life, what happened to the pro-life folks? What happened to the states' rights folks? Where are all those factions of the Republican Party? They're nowhere to be seen.
Yeah. All of these people who claim to be Republicans who now don't support the states' right to do whatever they want, require masks or not. The Republicans who say that they're pro-life, but they're encouraging elderly people to sacrifice themselves for the economy. Yeah, these people are all full of crap. And I think we knew that, right? Like, people like you and me, we've known that for years.
Sure.
These people were just completely, you know.
I've always said the Republican Party is the party of scorched earth. I've always said that Trump was possible. And, you know, back in 2016, I said in April of 2016, he was going to win and it was going to be really bad. I'll be honest, you know, I didn't have my crystal ball, you know, tuned up at the time. I didn't imagine it would be this bad. Knew it was going to be bad, not this bad.
Sometimes I feel like my hope and idealism sort of shrouds my judgment. I heard Stacey Abrams doing an interview the other day where she talked about how she still has hope. And I was like, oh my God, finally, I'm like the only one out there who still like actually genuinely has hope in humanity and feels like, all right, people are going to, for every idiot Karen or Kevin that there is in a Walmart or a Costco, there are people all over the country who are sewing masks because they don't have anything else to do and they want to help. So I do think that for every horrible person, there really are amazing people doing incredible, generous, thoughtful, loving, and compassionate things for the rest of the country. And I wish we could focus more on them.
I'm right there with you. No, I'm encouraged by what I'm seeing in Portland. The fact that, you know, people came out in the face of the kind of oppressive authoritarian move that Trump tried with sending in, I think it's Border Patrol tactical units and U.S. Marshals tactical units, you know, dressed up like like mercenaries. They reacted, I think, appropriately by having more people come out in the streets. So I'm encouraged by that. I'm encouraged by the younger generation saying, hell no, we're not taking it anymore. Good on them. It's about time. But let me ask you the other
side.
Exactly. And don't forget the dads with the leaf blowers. I thought that was great, too. But I wanted to ask you because, you know, I am seeing the Republican Party kind of splinter a little bit. And I wanted to get your take on what's going on with Liz Cheney. Not a Cheney fan by any stretch of the imagination. As the spawn of Darth Cheney, I have no hope for her saving the Republic. But do you see her? I'm just curious. Do you see her, you know, kind of splitting off, seeing what's coming, so that maybe she runs for president in a couple of years? Because I don't know if you've been paying attention to this whole dust up going on, but it seems like she's trying to get away from the Trump cult.
What's interesting about Liz Cheney is I don't think that there's necessarily anything controversial about what she said. And I imagine that Liz Cheney was not necessarily making some sort of calculated political decision whenever she said, you know, what she said. I think she was like, oh, well, this makes sense. This is logical. This is what everybody would think. And then all of a sudden, these like crazy right-wing nut bars just started attacking her. And she's got to just be like, wait, what? Like, I thought all that was for show, right? And I think she's having this rude awakening of it's just like, oh no, there's no real difference between crazy and the Republican Party anymore. Like, welcome to reality, Liz Cheney.
So then I'm giving her too much credit, you think?
Yeah, way too much credit.
Okay,
I don't think there's anything calculated, and there's no way in hell that she could make it through a presidential race.
Because I was just thinking, man, you know, this seems like a good time to kind of make that move. Because, you know, all of the Republican governors are going to go down in flames as the virus, you know, basically engulfs their states and probably the rest of us, too. This is a good time to stake your ground on some logic and get away from the Trump cult.
Yeah, I mean, it would be great if that's, but I don't think that there's any way for her to really do it. You know, like she's Dick Cheney's kid. And I think it's really going to take maybe 10, 15, 20 years before people really forget. Like you think about how much people hated Hillary Clinton. People hate Dick Cheney that same way, if not more. And he still has really, really terrible polling numbers. And I don't think that he'll ever have good polling numbers. So like, you got to let like a whole generation, a couple of generations of people die before
you're
going to be able to run.
You really think he's hated more than Hillary Clinton?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Wow.
See, I wouldn't be surprised.
I know he was pulling right around cockroaches and syphilis, but, you know, I think we're right there with Hillary. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, he just, for the shady, sketchy things that he did that were so incredibly obvious, there are documentaries. There are, like, he appeared on What's-His-Name's show and talked about waterboarding. Oh, my God. Why can't I remember it? Showtime, the hair. Dresses up in the different costumes, the comedian. Oh, speaking of short-term memory.
Yeah, I don't have those things. I'm not rich.
Right? So, I mean, this is still a thing. The waterboarding thing is still a thing. Gitmo is still open.
Right.
It is still there. And until it's not, I mean, this is going to be the idea of torture and the stuff that that we did to people in Iraq and Afghanistan, like, that's not going to go away.
No, I'm with you. Last thing I've got for you. Normally, I don't ask your opinion of the craziest story of the week, but I'm curious. What does Sarah think is the craziest story of the week?
The one, the black man who bought a bicycle in, I think it may have been a Walmart, perhaps, and was riding it out and got arrested. That one just, I mean, really? He bought a bicycle, he's riding it out, and they arrested him for it. I don't even know what charge there was. I don't think they thought that he was stealing it. I think they just, like, some woman lost her mind about it, and all of a sudden the poor guy's in the back of a police car. Right? Like, that one was the worst this week, I think.
Welcome to America. And,
yeah.
And on that, I appreciate the time, Sarah. I appreciate it. Good stuff, as always. Always fun.
Thank you. Have a good weekend. Be careful. Be safe.
You as well. Our good friend Sarah Burris. Raw Story. Make sure you check out their work. Always good stuff. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. From the top.
Waving the flag of freedom for people, not corporations. Rick Smith.